It's like an egg. Hope you like it. I was going to put stripes on it, but they say if you put stripes this way, you look fatter, so I would have gone this way, but I just decided that I wouldn't do that. We as always on Easter, we always have a lot of guests, so let me help you with something, guests, just so you know. Some of you maybe not go to church very often or whatever, and a lot of churches are built on the power of guilt and stuff, and what I want you to understand is I'm never going to tell you how bad you are. I'm going to tell you how good He is. Amen. You understand that, right? Hopefully, by the time you leave a service, you'll feel better than when you came in. Unfortunately, when I was a child, that never happened for me. Yeah, I'm not going to tell you what to do. I'm going to tell you that it's done. Amen. I'm not going to tell you to chase after Him. I'm going to tell you that He chose you, the Bible says. And He said not guilty, didn't He? We say that, and we want to believe that. He says we're not guilty, but we really struggle with that, don't we? So here's what's so fun for me. This is Resurrection Day. We teach all kinds of angles on it, but I don't remember anybody ever telling us the reason why of the resurrection. There are reasons, but I think I have found the most important reason that there is. because here's the crux of the matter for all of mankind. How do we know that God was satisfied by Christ's death for us? How do we know? How do we know that was enough? But that's why we celebrate the resurrection, and the resurrection is the proof of that. And so here's a couple of reasons that a lot of guys have talked about, including myself, over the years, reasons why Christ was resurrected. And yes, he was resurrected to conquer sin and death. Absolutely. No doubt, and here's the scripture to show you that right there. When I saw him, I fell at his feet. This is in Revelation at the end of the Bible when John from the Isle of Patmos had the vision and he was standing there. He said, when I saw him, talking about Jesus, I fell at his feet as if I were dead, but he laid his right hand on me and said, don't be afraid. I'm the first and the last and I am the living one. I died, but look, I'm alive. Forever and ever, the resurrection. And I hold the keys to death and the grave. And as you know, if you understand the word at all, when Jesus died and he was placed in a tomb for 3 days, he went down to Satan, took the keys to death, hell, and the grave. We've preached that all kinds of different angles, and it's true. I'm not trying to downplay that, but I think there's something more important that we need to see in this that has to do with us as we do our life. And of course, yes, the resurrection proved that Jesus is the Son of God. Nobody else other than the people who Jesus has touched has ever been raised from the dead. Do you understand what I'm saying? And here's the scripture for that. The good news, Romans 1, the good news is about his son. In his earthly life, he was born into King David's family line, and he was declared horizo, great word. What does that look like to you, the word? It looks like horizon, doesn't it? Right? Okay, that's the root word of horizon. I'm going to show you this. And he was born in the King David's family line, and he was declared horizo to be the Son of God when he was raised from the dead by the power of the Holy Spirit. The truth is, there's a whole lot of other gods, and they've all died, and none of them have risen again. So the proof in the pudding, ladies and gentlemen, was the fact that Jesus was raised up again. That word, that word horizo, it is where we get the word horizon from, and the horizon does what? It separates the earth from the heavens. That's exactly what this is saying, that he was declared the Son of God. It separated him from let me read it just the way I wrote it. Jesus' resurrection sets him apart as the Son of God, just like the horizon sets the boundary between heaven and earth. So that's another reason. That was a reason. But then there's another reason that I believe is the most important reason ever. And that is, and we've heard it said a million times, his resurrection means that our sins are forgiven. Now, guys, listen to me very carefully. Our sins are forgiven. The Bible says very clearly that Jesus took away the sins of the world. In the Old Testament, they were just covered. In the New Testament, they were taken away. But we get kind of caught up in stuff that we've been trained and taught over the years, and we need to stick strictly to what the Word tells us about it. For instance, how many times have you gone before God and said, oh, God, please forgive me, please forgive me, please forgive me, please forgive me? Did you know there is nowhere in the Word that it says that? No, sir. What does the Bible say? Confess with your mouth the Lord is Jesus and that he was raised from the dead. Confess with your mouth. What does that mean? That means we got to admit it before we'll ever quit it. Do you get it? Wow. Do you get it? Listen. Here's the problem is we want to grovel. Listen, I've told you a million times, it is not about me and how bad I am. It's about how great and good He is. And it's so true. Stop groveling in forgiveness. It is done. It is finished. Tetelestai, those kids put up. It means it is finished, completely, totally done. Stop trying to dig it up. If you're going to go before the Lord with sin, confess it. Don't ask for forgiveness. Because that therein lies the problem with us as mankind. The truth is, most of us don't want to admit, we're in one of two categories. We want to act like we're all that in a bag of chips, or we want to grovel so much we can't see anything that's accomplished. I want to say this again for those of you who are guests. Listen, this is all you're going to get. I'm not going to pound you. I'm going to hammer you with Jesus. I'm going to tell you every angle that I can of Jesus, because He is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and I'm not. I am not a good person. I'll be the first to admit it. I'm bad. He's good. Get over it. Man, sorry. I shouldn't have had that extra cup of coffee this morning. That's what I shouldn't have had. But I did. So, well, let's go to the Word, man. Here's my proof that your sins are forgiven. Watch this. This is out of the Bible. People say, I don't never read that. Because you're just stop reading so fast. Take your time, man. Check it out. Under the Old Covenant, the Old Testament, the law, under the Old Covenant, the priest stood. By the way, if you'll go in the Old Testament and you'll look at where he was standing, there was the table of showbread and there was all this cool stuff, but there was nothing to sit down. He could never sit down. The priest could never sit down. He was constantly having to work. Do you feel like that if you're a Christian? Because if you do, you need to quit it and sit down. Now, I'm not playing, but I'll get there in a second. Under the Old Covenant, the priest stands and ministers before the altar day after day after day after day, and offering the same sacrifices again and again and again and again. What do they say insanity is? Doing the same thing over and over and over and over again with the same results. This was insane, and they didn't even know it. So under the Old Covenant, the priest stands and ministers before the Lord day after day, offering the same sacrifices again and again, which can never take away sins. As much as they worked and did and killed, and all these animals' bones were everywhere, and as much as they did all that, none of it could take away the sins. Oh, it covered the sins. The Bible's very clear on that it covered the sins, but nothing could ever take away the sin. Not a bull, not a goat, not a dove or a rabbit, because they would let the poor people use other animals because they couldn't afford the lamb or the bull. But verse 12, what does it say? But, remember when it always has, well, I want to say it always has a but there. That sounds bad. That means, watch, it kind of discounts that whole insanity thing. But our high priest, Jesus, offered himself to God as a single sacrifice for sin, good for all time. This is where we get stuck, because the second that I tell you that your yesterday's sins are cool, they're covered, your today's sins are cool if you say, oh God, forgive me, but tomorrow you're messed up. That is wrong. All of them. If you go into Hebrews, it even talks about going back to Abraham's day. Jesus, when he died, covered those sins. If you don't believe it's future sins, then you need to understand something. We're messed up, because that means none of us are covered, because he died long before we ever sinned. Do you get it? But again, we can't wrap our brain around that, because we feel like we have to grovel. He says, confess it. When you sin, confess it. Man, I blew it. I messed up. That's why the Bible tells us very clearly that we can go before him boldly with us. But what happens is we walk in guilt and shame and all this stuff because we don't feel like we're very good people. And what happens then? We just feel like we've got to grovel and go before him all crawling and stuff. And oh God, stop it. We can go boldly. Why? Not because of you, but because of him. Because of what Jesus did. It's powerful. So let's finish this up here. So he's good for all time. Then he sat down in a place of honor at God's right hand. Jesus didn't sit down because he was tired. He sat down because he was finished. Do you understand that? there's no need for the standing earthly priests any longer. See, because God made Jesus responsible for all our sins on the cross. His death, he took them all. Watch this. His death took them all. His resurrection left them there. Do you hear what I'm saying? Jesus said to Tetelestai, and then, Father, into my hands I commend my spirit, and he died. But we got to go beyond the death, because without the resurrection, the death would not matter. Do you hear what I'm saying? There's a lot of people who have died for good causes, but it didn't do anything. Do you get what I'm saying? So what we need to understand is there is a reason, and I'm going to get there here in a second. There's a reason for all of this. There's a reason why God made Jesus responsible for all sin, and his death took them all, but his resurrection left him there. Look at this next scripture. And if Christ has not been raised from the dead, this is a double negative if you want to know in the English language, so I flipped it here in a second. And if Christ has not been raised from the dead, then your faith is useless and you're still guilty of your sins. But now look at how I wrote it, where it take out all the negatives. Since Christ has been raised from the dead, your faith is effective, fruitful, and productive, and you are not guilty of your sins. You are not guilty. Do you not get it? You're not guilty, but you don't know. I do understand you're not guilty. Quit hanging with you and start hanging with him. Do you get that? It set me free because I hung with me so much. I got tired of me. I don't like me. Oh, but I love him. He's awesome. He's awesome. So, where am I at? I'm going to stay on point so y'all can beat some people to eat today. Yeah, it's too late to beat the atheist, but it's okay. I was just looking at the clock there. Listen to this. The people that know me, anybody in here been in prison? I'm just asking for the people that know me. Those who don't know me, you don't have to admit it, because you think I'm going to judge you. But see, all the others, yeah, that's me, man. More than once, I got my hands up twice. When you went to prison, you went for a reason, because you were guilty. Fair? When you were released from prison, after probation or parole, this is how the world says it, your debt to society was paid. You don't have to face that charge anymore. Now, if you go do something stupid again, you'll probably go back to prison. I get that. And people are like, well, I thought Jesus, he does love you, but he can't, the consequences of life is what messes us up. So having said that, the Bible is very clear. Your debt is paid. How many of you that have been to prison go, oh, you know what? I really don't think I got it. I probably should go back for about six more months. But that's how we do with God. You get it. The debt is paid. It's over. It's finished. You owe nothing to society. You owe nothing, not only just to get your ticket to heaven, but to walk in the fullness of who Jesus is. You'll never walk in the fullness of who Jesus is until you believe what he believes about you. Don't quit believing what you believe about you. Believe what he believes about you, and don't quit believing what other people believe about you. Who cares about other people? I do. I mean, I love you. Okay, sorry, I got off point just a hair. So, when you come out of prison, your debt to society has been paid. When Jesus came out of the tomb, our debt was paid, never having to be punished for them again. There's a scripture in Hebrews again, which if I put up all the scriptures, we'd be here all day, that says that very thing, that he died for the penalty, not just our sin, but for the penalty of our sin. Every one of the sins that were hammered into Jesus' body in those 3 hours that he hung on the cross prior to his death, every one of those incorporated the penalty too. We keep hanging on. You keep hanging on to your sins because you don't understand that they're gone. Then you are penalizing yourself because you're beating yourself up. Stop it. Your sins are completely forgiven and gone. The Bible says as far as the east is from the west, they're gone. They're gone. They are gone. Now, I guess I could stand up here like other preachers and just tell you how horrible you are. You want me to do that? I could do that. Thank you. I can't do that no more. So, here's what I want you to understand. I'm going to read the scripture, but I want you to understand something. We are dead spiritually. Humankind is dead spiritually. Here's the scripture. You were dead because of your sins, and because your sinful nature was not yet cut away. Then God made you alive with Sizo Apo Aio. E-I-E-I-O. That's, I just want you to know the only reason I said that word is because I practiced for about 15 minutes.
Sizo-Apo-Aio.
You know what that means? It means not to weld. You those of you who weld, what do? You put a piece of metal and a piece of metal together and you weld it. And you hope you have a strong weld, right? No, this is the word meld. You know what that means? You can't take, it would be, anybody a Kool-Aid fan? Put Kool-Aid in and you stir, that's melding. It's, you can't unmix that. That's what this word means. So because our sinful nature was cut away, then God made us alive when he melded us with Christ. And when he forgave all, P-A-S, one of my favorite Greek words ever. It means each and every individual. Anytime you see the word all, if you go in the Strong's Concordance or something, look it up. If it's the word pos, it means each and every individual. In other words, you can't sneak around it. You know, forever we have preached hell hot and heaven's doing this and you did this and this and you better make sure you didn't do that. You know, the sins of the ones that I commit and the sins that I omit and the sins that I get transmitted from my grandparents. Stop. Each and every, so that's the way you could read it. Then God made you alive when he melded you with Christ, when he forgave each and every one of our sins. But guys, is this not what we do? And this is true. This is how I did when I was a child. I was a mess, man. And up until then, I came to know Jesus. That's Jesus in my heart. And from that day, when I asked Jesus in my heart, I knew for a fact that my sins were forgiven, but that was them, not these. Do you get it? So then you mess up, and you're like, oh, God. So that's why you start groveling again. Stop. They're all done. We confess him, and we walk in the boldness of who he is. And he loves us so much, he says, come into my throne room just with boldness. And that doesn't mean arrogance. That means, hey, I did it. I did it again, but I didn't do it as much as I used to did it. It's so good. He's so good. He is so good. So whatever preconceived idea you have of God, stop. A lot of people have this preconceived idea, I put this actually in my book, of God being this big, monstrous, ever-seeing eyeball that's searching on earth to find you do one thing wrong so that he can snatch you and scrunch you and send you to hell. It's good to see you, and I'm fatter than the last time I saw you, so don't tell me that. That is so who he's not, and it took me for years and years and years to find that out. He just wanted to hold me. I wanted him to punish me. I'm not playing. I'm like, you know, grab my ankles. What do you want me to do? I said grab my ankles because when I was in school, back before everything wasn't politically correct and stuff, they had a paddleboard in my school, and that paddleboard had my name on it, I promise you. And they put holes in that paddleboard because the wind would try to stop the paddle from going so that those putting those holes in it was more aerodynamic. And it was, I have still can see it. Steve, Eugene, Van Zant, grab your ankles. Man, you grab your ankles and pat, 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 and you'd go home. You got little whelps on your bottom. Nobody called the cops. In fact, when I got home, my parents took it on me as their turn. Nowadays, you got kids running the household, and they're spanking the parents. All right, sorry. That sounded like an old man right there. And
I remember the day. I used to have to walk 3 blocks to catch the bus. Uphill both ways.
Let me finish this out. Let's see. And he forgave all of our past sins. Here's the rest of it. Can you read? He canceled. What does cancel mean? He didn't postpone anything. Do you get it? There's a difference. In fact, there's been times at the church where something come up and we'll be in staff or something. We'll say, we need to cancel that. Well, no, we need to postpone it. Because cancellation is so finite, so that's it. That's what that word means. He canceled the charges, the record of the charges against, the record of the charges, not just the charges with sin, but the record. Listen, it's your friends and family and Satan. Is it Satan or something? Who is the one that keeps the record for your charges, right? And about the time you think you're doing good, one of your friends or family becomes a devil. Man, y'all are about, some of you people are going to have, they're going to go out here and go, I got whiplash in church. I can name you names. Well, you need to throw that record away too, all right? Yeah. Isn't that funny? I'll get there in a minute about this whole thing. I'll get there. So look at this. In what way? In the way that he canceled the record of the charges against us and took it away by nailing it to the cross. And in this way, he disarmed the spiritual rulers and authorities, and I love this, and he shamed them publicly by his victory over them on the cross. They thought they were all that in a bag of chips. They thought they had killed him. How dumb can Satan be that he thought he killed? He was partying down there when Jesus came for them keys to death, hell, and the grave. You know he was. Hey, guys, how about that? Well, I'm telling you what, I hear something. I hear somebody's coming down the hall. And he just walks in, his old lion self, L-I-O-N. And he just sticks his hand out. And they all tremble. And Satan tries to act like he's bad, but he's shamed too because he knows dadgum well he's got to give them keys up. Death, hell. Oh, you forgot one, Satan. Grave, yeah, thank you very much. See you later, buddy. Come on up and visit sometime while I'm sitting at the right hand. Come up there for me. Oh, man. So, the most important reason for Easter, for this day of his resurrection, is really found, in my opinion, which we just covered some of it, about our sins are forgiven, in one scripture, and I'm going to show you three, well, actually four because I vetted it out, but three different translations so you'll understand it. Here we go. This is the first translation. NASB stands for New American Standard Bible. This actually is the Bible when I was in college that I asked my Greek professor what was the closest to the original language, and this is what he told me. And so I kind of vet out of this because that's what he told me, and it makes sense because as you read other versions of the Bible, you'll see that, and I don't want to get off on the tangent here, but it's true. He who was delivered over because of our transgressions, that's before the resurrection, and was raised because of our, great word, right? Justification. Well, none of us know what justification is. We like to throw it out there for Christian words so we can have a good Christian word. Oh, I'm justified. I'm saturized. I'm homogenized. I'm pasteurized. And all them Isis, because I am, because I love Jesus. How about we just say, I don't love Jesus too good, but man, I can shout from the rooftop how much he loves me. Whoo! That's crazy. I'll never wrap my brain around it, but I am letting my heart hold it a little bit. Here's another version, which I normally teach out of. The New Living Testament, what's the NLT stands for. Same verse. He was handed over to die because of our sins, and he was raised to life to make us right with God. Had he not been raised from the dead, we still wouldn't be right. We would not be, what the next verse says, declared righteous. This next verse is great. It's from Young's Literal Translation. This guy's an old school guy from years ago, but he just broke open the original language and found the truth. Well, the reason I say that, because most old school guys run from the truth. I used to do it. I would find something that made me uncomfortable in the Bible, and I would just go to something else that didn't make me uncomfortable. I don't do that anymore. I stop and vet it out, and every time I vet, when I say vet it out, you understand what I mean, right? I take apart the original language, and I find the real meaning, and holy smoke, he's awesome. He really is. He's not heavy-handed at all. Anyway, so here's what Young said. He said, who was delivered up because of our offenses. You can tell that's old school. And was raised up because of our being declared righteous. You go into Hebrews, you go into some other parts of Romans, it's just constant that God has declared us righteous because Jesus was raised from the dead. If he was still dead, you would still be dead in your sins. Do you get it? Do you get it? That scripture I read a while ago, you're dead to you're dead. Listen, here's the problem with that. We got people who think they're not, I'm not such a bad sinner. And we got people who think they're horrible sinners. When I tell you you're spiritually dead, dead is dead. Do you get that? Listen, man, I can go get, when Squig dies or whoever, Pete, one of our homeless guys, just died recently. I could take him and bring him in here, and then I could go take whoever, Bill Gates, if he died, and the richest, one of the richest guys in the world, and put him there. Listen, he would be in a $2,000 money suit. Pete was probably in blue jeans that had rips down them because he'd been in the hospital so much. But the truth is they're both dead. Dead is dead. Can I say something really clear? Jesus didn't come to make bad people good. He came to make dead people alive. Do you get it? All right, I just rabbit-trailed again, sorry. So, now we're going to go to what I did. I used New American Standard. I put the big words in there so you could know I really did the work. That's all those big words is what says this next thing. Watch this. This is pretty sweet. He who was given over to be judged, punished, condemned, and put to death for the reason of and in the place of our sins and our inability to walk in morality, integrity, goodness, and truth. And he was raised from the dead to life as the final act of God, declaring us righteous, acceptable to God, and free from guilt. You're not guilty. You are not guilty. Jesus said it is finished, and he died on the cross. Watch. God said it is finished. When he raised Jesus from the dead, we are not guilty. In Jesus' death, watch, our declared righteousness is accomplished. In his resurrection, our declared righteousness is accepted. Jesus paid the price. His resurrection provided the receipt. Everybody know what a receipt is? Isn't it funny if we go into Starbucks? You go to Starbucks at all, anybody? I always want to pay $10 for a cup of coffee myself. You go into Starbucks, or I should probably go where I go. You go into Walmart, you buy a couple of things, about $12. Sir, do you want your receipt? No. But I promise you, every one of you got your title to your car. And if you have a home, you certainly have the title to your home. Why? Because we keep the receipt of things that are valuable. Is that true? Yeah. Okay. What I'm going to help you with today is that this receipt that I'm talking about of Jesus' resurrection declares us righteous, you need to keep in your pocket. And let me give you another example of why. Anybody here ever go to Sam's? Okay. You ever gotten out of the door of Sam's without a receipt? Heck no. I've tried it. I've had my chaplain badge on. One thing in my hand. You got a receipt? Yep. No. What happened? They got to see it. They got to read it. You will never get out of Sam's without your receipt. Ever. You get that. You really do understand that. And until you produce that receipt and show that receipt, watch this. They will proclaim that you're a thief. And a liar, and you didn't pay for nothing. But the second that you provide the receipt, you go ahead, sir. Yes, sir. You go ahead. Now they call you sir. First, they're bowed up. Just do it for meanness sometime. Just go in there and they say, can I see your receipt? Just say, no. No, you can't. I'm not showing you. No. Get out of my way. SWAT team will show up. That Sam's employee has every right every right to stop you from going because you don't have the receipt. Last week we talked in Zechariah a little bit. I actually got stuck there this week, and I'm going to conclude my message with this. Let me just make sure I said everything I want to say here. Let me just read it to you like I wrote it. The only time we want a receipt is if the product has value. Never ask for a receipt for a cup of coffee, but certainly the title of our car. Now, but there's a time where we have to have the receipt, and we'll never get out of sands if we can't show it. And until we show the receipt, we are guilty as charged. Whether you did it or not, do you hear me? All us that think we're all that in a bag of chips, you're guilty. Until you produce the receipt. All you that groveling, I know I'm guilty. You don't have to be. So anyway, I got stuck in Zechariah. 616 years ago is this the first one. I think this one's about 633 years prior to Jesus' death. Zechariah has this great thing, and let me set it up for you. We always talk about the courtroom of God's there and Jesus is there. And in fact, if you look in Scripture, remember when Job was roaming the earth and went up and saw God, and God said, man, look at Job, how cool he is. And Satan's like, well, let me mess with him and he won't be. You know, we know the story of Job. So we know that scenario. And so, but there's another scenario that was prophesied that most of us haven't even seen this story. So I thought, well, what a better day than Easter. Here it is. Zechariah chapter 3. Then he, talking about God, showed me Joshua the high priest. Let me stop there. Joshua was the high priest, not the Joshua that we know that did the promised land thing. This was a different guy named Joshua, and at that time he was the high priest in somewhere, I can't remember. Anyway, one of the towns. So that's why I said it, because what interested me initially, was Joshua is the same word for Jesus, which is salvation. It means God is salvation, which that would fit here too, but I want to show you this. So let's just leave Joshua as the high priest that he knew, that Zechariah knew. He said, then he showed me Joshua the high priest standing before the angel of the Lord. Now remember, in the Old Testament, the angel of the Lord is always Jesus, the one that was in the fiery furnace with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. That was Jesus, the angel of the Lord. Again, it doesn't, the word doesn't say it's him, but it certainly shows it to be him, and the way that he pronounces it and says things to him, scholars say it's him. I don't really care about scholars, but in this case, I believe them, so I say a scholar's good. Study out the angel of the Lord. I don't think you can come away with anything other than it's Jesus prior to his death and resurrection. So then he showed me Joshua, the high priest, standing before the angel of the Lord, and Satan standing at his right side to accuse him. Listen to me very carefully. Satan doesn't have the power to kill you except through accusation. His name, Hasatan, it's an H-A in the front, Hasatan. His whole purpose is to destroy you. He didn't come to kill, steal, and destroy. Yes, 100 times yes. But he can only do that through accusation and condemnation. That's what his name literally means. You know how the word says God is love? It doesn't just that God loves. God is. His very being is love. Hasatan's very being is accusation. He accuses. So the next time your spouse looks at you and says something accusatory, just say, get thee behind me, Satan. No, I'm kidding. Please don't do that. Please don't do that, and please don't that be the only thing you take out of this service today. Oh, my God, he said I can yell at my wife. It's awesome. So Satan was standing by the right side to accuse him. And the Lord said to Satan, watch this. The Lord says to Satan, the Lord rebuke you, Satan. The Lord who has chosen Jerusalem rebuke you. Stop. Joshua the high priest, who does the high priest represent at this moment in time? The high priest represents the people of Israel. Jerusalem represents those people. So what God is saying is, Satan, I rebuke you because this guy that represents my people, and he says, the Lord, I say, rebuke you. The Lord who has chosen this people, rebuke you. And then he says, is not this man, talking about Joshua the high priest, who represents the people, is not this man a burning stick snatched from the fire? That's me. Holy smoke, man, my old days, I wasn't a good person at all. I mean, not only did I do drugs, but I did all kinds of dumb stuff. I stabbed people. I did stupid stuff. I mean, I really didn't. God protected me in that somehow. I don't know why, but he did, and he was faithful, and I was the one that he snatched out of the fire. I'm telling you, there were times where I would be in the heart of Juarez, Mexico, and the last thing I remember is screaming some profanities at some Hispanics, they weren't Hispanics, they were Mexicans, they're from Mexico, at some Mexicans. Oh, that's all I remember is, oh, kick your nahuna, you, that's all I mean. The next thing I remember is I'm in my bed at my house in El Paso, and I immediately get up and run to the window and throw it up to see if my car, and my car is there. So I call my friends, man, who brought me home?
Nobody, man, you got those guys really mad.
Well, I'm sure I did.
Well, you just took off, said you was leaving.
So my guardian angel is a great driver. He is. I'm glad my guardian angel is not Clarence from It's a Wonderful Life, because I'm not sure he could drive. I'm just telling you, he snatched me time and time again. I'm the guy that he's prophesying about right here. The Lord who has chosen Jerusalem rebuke you. Is not this man a burning stick snatched from the fire? Next. Now Joshua was dressed in filthy clothes as he stood before the angel. Joshua, who represents the people, we are standing before the angel of the Lord, Jesus, with these filthy clothes on. And the angel says to those who are standing before him, take off his filthy clothes, stop. God hates filthy clothes, but he loves the person that wears them.
Man, we just got it so wrong. We think he is so mean and after us. Good Lord. People are mean and after us.
He is so not. You know,
well, you got to hate the sin and love the sinner.
We've never really got that because we hate the sinner too. But we're all sinners. And I'm going to say it once again. I don't ask for forgiveness. I confess my sin. When you confess your sin, there's something healing that happens. If I can confess that I'm judgmental, something happens in me. If I'm like just judging somebody else to judge them, I'll tell you a great story. It's all about me. And this is a great example, and I can't believe I'm going to tell you the story, but who cares? I'm here. And when I search for information online, you know, I look for illustrations and stuff. Well, I found this illustration from this guy's sermon, and I thought, man, that's a good illustration, so I'm going to use that. And I did. And then I was online, I was on Facebook, and I have a pastor friend of mine who actually preached that whole message that I had found this illustration from verbatim. I mean, I literally, this is terrible. This is Judge Steve. I pulled it up online and listened to him talk, and he didn't miss a pause. He said it exactly. And I sat back my self-righteous self. I'm like, what a tool. Man, what kind of person would do that? I did the same thing. I didn't stand up here and go, you know what, I found a great illustration. I just gave the illustration like I thought it up. That's what I'm talking about. It's as simple as that. We are so, and the truth is, it's our human nature, guys. There's something in human nature. We want somebody else to be less than us so that we can be more important. And it goes through all of society. They call it the caste system in India. We have a caste system here. And I mean, it goes through all of society. You can go all the way out to the homeless guys. You're going to have homeless guys. One of them's more important because one of them doesn't have shoes and the other one does have shoes. Or one doesn't have socks, the other does have socks. Or one of them got the refrigerator cardboard box to sleep in and the other one didn't. So there's this leveling that happens. With Jesus, all that leveling stops. I'm sorry, ladies and gentlemen. I am no better than you, but thank God I am no worse than you. I am on this same level with you. Jesus doesn't love me more than some of you think, oh, yes, he does, because you. No, it's not about anything that I do. It's about what I receive and what I believe. And if you receive and you believe, ow, the bread comes back buttered. Not really. Listen. So, because my whole thing was, you're better than me. But we have other people, which is actually in the worst place because it's pride, and that's how Satan fell, that feel like they're better than. But you that are less than, quit judging the better than. That we're all equal. Strip naked, we're all ugly. Do you get it? Well, don't do that right now. God help you, if I did that, y'all would get to fast for a week because you wouldn't be able to eat. Oh, well, I'll stay. My wife's over here. I'm going to stay on point. Watch this. Take off his filthy clothes. Then he said to Joshua, see, I have taken away your sin, and I will put fine garments on you. Next scripture. Then I said, put a clean turban on his head. So they put a clean turban on his head and clothed him. Man, I would love to take time to preach this really out, but I don't have time. While the angel of the Lord stood by, and the angel of the Lord gave this charge to Joshua. This is what the Lord says. If you will walk in obedience to me, by the way, in obedience, it had nothing to do with the law. It had all to do with, even in the Old Testament, God said, what do I expect of you? What do I require of you? But justice and mercy. But no, we're going to be heavy-handed, aren't we? So walk in obedience to me and keep my requirements. Then you will govern my house and have charge over my courts, and I will give you a place among the standing here. I'm wanting to get there. Listen, high priest Joshua, you and your associates that are seated here with you, who are men symbolic of things to come. I'm going to bring my servant the branch. Now he starts prophesying about Jesus. I'm going to bring my servant the branch. See the stone I have set in front of Joshua? There are seven eyes on that one stone, and I will engrave an inscription on it, says the Lord Almighty, and I will remove the sin of this land in one single day. Yeah, the day of the cross. So here's my final thought for you, ladies and gentlemen of the jury. There is a jury out there, and I get that. And there is people who just, you know, I'm sure most of us have been unfriended on Facebook or, you know, whatever, and we're trying to make everybody happy and be kind. And the truth is, we live in a terribly cruel world. So there is a jury out there and a jury of our peers and all that, but that's not what I'm talking about. The heavy one is that same, this same scenario. I love this scenario. I want you to look at that scenario for a second, and I'm done. And that is, here you have God the Father, the perfect judge. And you have Jesus the Son, who has now completed his mission. I just made it very clear that we are now declared righteous and we are declared not guilty. Sitting there, you have Satan, HaSatan, coming up, constantly accusing. I've told you this before, but it's so true. He tells you, man, you should do this. You should do this. Oh, man, if you go out, you can get revenge on that guy. You go out there, you can do that. She'll never know. You can do that. And then you go out and do it. And he turns around with the same breath and says, look what you did. Look what you did. All he can do is accuse. Do you get it? So he's up there, and he's hammering with accusation. Here's what I love. And I'm up there. I'm going to put me up there with him. And now I have a little understanding. I used to didn't. Now I would be going, oh, my God, I'm fixing to get put to jail forever. I mean, everything he's saying is true. God, and he even knew that. How did he see that? Oh, my God. And God, forgive me. God's sitting there as he does, because he's God. He can do anything he wants. And Jesus is sitting there, and he's God. And he's already done everything he needs to do. And Satan's hammering it. Yep. And then normally when I tell this story, I say, you know, but then Jesus turns to God and says, look at the hand, talk to the hand. And then God says, not guilty. But I've changed this a little bit because I'm starting to get a little better understanding. So as he's doing that, and I'm going, oh, yes, I did. Then I remember something. Oh, my God. And you did this, and you did this. And Satan, you don't have to talk to them no more. Talk to me. And you did this, and yeah, you know, dude, I didn't even remember doing that. Yes, I did that. Yes, I did. Oh, my God, it made such a mess in life because that sin just kind of screws up everything. But yeah, no, you're right. You're exactly right. Yes, I did, but he paid the price. Do you want to read it? I'll read it to you, Satan, and I'll just give him some scripture. You don't have to. You give him some scripture. You don't start throwing scripture at him. When he attacked Jesus, what he used scripture, didn't he? Well, the Bible says. I mean, I've been hammered with the Bible my whole life. Well, the Bible says. But now I kind of know the Bible. So instead of coming up with, greater is he that is in me than he that's in the world. I am more than a conqueror, Satan. I just look at him and say, you know what? You can throw it all you want, buddy. I'm not guilty because Hebrews tells me so. I'm not guilty because all those charges that were against me were nailed to the cross, the Word tells me. And God declares me righteous, not because of anything I did. No, I get that. You can hammer me all you want, but it doesn't affect me now because of what he did. No, you're right. I am awful, but he's total. He's done everything for me. And ladies and gentlemen, if you walk out of this church feeling worse than when you came in, you didn't hear a word I said. Because the truth is, He is good. And I get it, I'm not. And I get it. I really do. So, but it's so easy to talk about Jesus for me now. I've told you all that too. It just really is. Because used to, when you try to talk about Jesus, before you'd even talk, I would, before I'd even talk to somebody, I'd think, oh my God, was I smoking a cigarette when they saw me last time? I think I flipped them off. Hey, Mike, I just want to tell you about Jesus. You're holier than thou. Well, no, I'm really not. That's what I can say now. No, I'm not holy at all, dude. Oh, but He is. And the Bible says that I am the righteousness, not only am I declared righteous, but I am the righteousness of God in Christ. Amen. And I'm in Him. So, yes, you're right. And I'm sorry I flipped you off when you cut me off in traffic. Don't ever cut me off in traffic, because I'll want to flip you off again, but I probably won't because... So, because sin causes us to focus on ourselves. That's why the Bible says, and it says it, it really says it in Hebrews, it says, the law gives sin its power. Do you hear what I'm saying? So we stand up here and we preach the law, the law, the law, the law, and then y'all go out and sin more. It's true. Did it ever work before in the past for us? Has my life ever been set free like it is now by hate? No, 1,000 times no. Because the law gives sin its power. It's in human nature. We want to fight against the law. I've told you, 10 glass buildings, me and Gary walking, we're talking, not a thought. We're down to the 10th building. They're all glass buildings, but there's this big sign that says, you will go to prison if you throw a rock at this building. And everything in our nature wants to pick up a rock and throw it into the building. Why? Because the law gives sin its power. I'm going to make this clear for all of you here today. If you want to come back, I'd appreciate it. And if you hated me, just don't tell me. If you liked it, just say, that was cool, but I ain't never come back. Whatever. I want to make it very clear how it really is Him. It's because of Him. And my understanding of Him and my understanding of the writings of the Apostle Paul and of what Jesus did on the cross and the things that He spoke, it's because of Him that I am honestly, sincerely free. I am free. Do I still sin? Yes. But I can confess my sin. I don't have to ask for forgiveness for my sin. Oh, forgive me. Stop it. The Bible says as far as the east is from the west on purpose. It didn't say north to south, because if you go north, you'll go south. If you go north, you'll go south. If you go east, you'll never go any other direction. That's how far your sins are. Quit drudging them up. I put them into the sea of forgetfulness, the Bible tells us. And that's even in the Old Testament. But and there's a big sign there that says, no fishing. Stop fishing. Stop letting people hurt your feelings. Man, when you get past the people hurting your feelings, life is lived again. Amen. Not because of me. Honest to goodness, guys, because of Him. And what about, now I've got these things that need... Listen, I'm not telling you that you're not... You're going to change. Listen, if you really come to know Jesus and if you really seek Him and really hang with Him and really start understanding the depth of His love that He has for you, as dirty and filthy as we are, and yet He sincerely loves us so much that even if it was just me, He would have died on the cross, and that makes no sense to me whatsoever. But if you believe that and you receive that and you hold on to that, your focus becomes on Him instead of on you, you become Jesus conscious instead of sin conscious, you become Jesus conscious instead of self-conscious, and all of a sudden you realize, man, I haven't done nothing stupid in a while. And it's not because you're trying to. It's because of who He is. Listen, I'm telling you, it will set you free. So you will change, but not by demand. You will change because of John 15, where He says, man, plant yourself in the vine. I'm the vine. You're the branches. Man, absorb from me. And as you absorb from Him, your life literally changes, and the sin that you sin won't be so hard anymore, simply because you're incorporated with Him now. I am the righteousness of God in Christ. And when I'm outside of Him, holy smoke, it's terrible. I could preach for days, but I won't. I'm going to shut up now. Stand with me, guys. Let me say this one last thing I wrote. Jesus is our receipt, and when the accusations come that you didn't pay, produce your receipt and say, yep, but he did. Amen.
And I want you to know that doesn't make me weak. It gives me confidence because he knows not just what I do, but what I'm thinking. And he still loves me and he still accepts me and he's given me the stamp. And he's written my name in a book. And not just my name, but he's got a separate book of remembrance. And when it's hard for me not to throw the rock, whether it's judgment or sin or whatever it is, he writes it down and says, hey, this day, that was really hard for you. Thanks for doing it. And the world's telling you what you did wrong, and he's going to tell me what I got right. And I want you to know what we got right today was believing what he said and not what other people said about us. I just simply want to ask you to do this morning. I'd like for everyone to bow their head. And the reason I'm doing that is because sometimes we feel put on the spot. But today's your day to let Jesus Christ into your heart. And when you make that decision, I want to let you know this. There are people who will want to be your validation and your justification, and they're going to make you doubt what you have if you don't do it their way. And guys, you've heard today the beauty of doing it his way. He will never leave us. He will never forsake us. And he will always fight for us. So I'm just going to ask you right now, maybe you just need permission to love him and let him love you. You've got it. You've got it. If you're here today, I'm not going to ask you to come down. But I'm going to ask you to do this. If you're here today and your heart is broken because of judgment from other people, don't let them be your validation any longer. Let him be your validation. And if you need to forgive other people because you've given them that power in your life, let's just set it right today. Father, we just give you permission today to come into our hearts and give us the ability to be forgiven so we can forgive others. God, we are so tired of the power plays in business and in the world and among friends and family. God, we don't want to be power played anymore. We just want to be forgiven. I'm asking you today, Father, to not just forgive me, but to show me the way to love the way you love me. And guys, if that's in your heart today, I just simply want you to just pray this prayer right after me. Father, today, I ask you to love me with an unconditional love that will never leave me. God, I ask you to help me look to Jesus and what he's done, and to forgive myself for what I've done. Today, Lord, from this day forward, I'm going to look to how great you are and not how bad I am or anyone else. Thank you so much, God. Lord, we just love you today. We just thank you for that. I pray today, God, that there'll be peace and there'll be freedom and that there'll be such love among families, God, that we'll recognize that's where the true safe place is. We thank you for that today, Father, in Jesus' name. Can you all just say amen? Amen. Amen. Wednesday nights, we're teaching on Hebrews. We're going through the book of Hebrews chapter by chapter. I want you to know that this is available to you to come up and have pictures made. If you want to do some selfies, take pictures today. The men who are going on retreat, if you've not signed up for men's retreat, or if you have and you're wanting to go, wave your hand, Gary, if you'll just meet on this side of the sanctuary to go to men's retreat. We're so glad you're here today. God bless you. Happy Easter.